Well, welcome back, everybody, to the HRO Adventures podcast. This is Dave, and I'm here with Rusty. Rusty, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you? Good. How was your week?
It was a slow week doing maintenance test flights and more sitting and drinking coffee waiting for parts to come in.
So, no golf tournaments to go to.
No golf tournaments.
No horse races.
The hotel they put us at had tornado sirens every day. So I got to hang out in my tornado bunker in my Hilton Garden Inn for a week.
I don't think that's one of the alarm sounds on my phone.
Yeah, unfortunately, I knew exactly what it was. So it was uneventful, I would say. Airlined out, sat around, and airlined back. Nothing was ready. So yeah. How about you?
Wow. Well, this week was pretty busy. I've been moving around a lot, and then it was the big weekend in Cooley City. So we had, you know, Memorial Day weekend's always big weekend. So we had breakfast that Jackie puts on that I help at. Well, I stand around and visit with everybody. I don't know if that's helping or not. And then we went to the rodeo, had the parade.
Oh, how was the rodeo?
The rodeo was great. We've been very, very blessed with a very good rodeo committee and good rodeo for many, many years. And this year they're representing the best small rodeo in the nation again. So they've been doing that for a long time now. So it's a good committee, and they put on a good show. So three nights. So
okay,
it's really
good. Is that a PBR sponsored event or something else?
No, it's a PRCA.
PRCA.
It's the Pro Rodeo. Yep. And so, and it's one of the early ones is before you start getting into the busy summer of rodeos. So, you know, they have all the couple of big ones early, you know, Denver, San Antonio, Houston.
Yeah, San Antonio's a big one.
Yeah. And they have those early in the year because they're indoors. They have they're down south, except for Denver, of course. Mm-hmm. But those ones will get going, going to get everybody going. And then now you start doing the outdoor ones. And you start getting those in now. So we're one of the first ones to do.
Wow.
So it works out really good.
Great. And the weather's working out great.
Really good.
Yep. Well, we have not one but two great guests, special guests today.
We do.
You want to introduce your guests?
It's nice to have Preacher Dave back with us.
Good to be here.
We're going to talk some fishing with Preacher Dave, and him and I have done some fishing since the last time he was on. So I'm excited to get him back on and everything else. But these are probably the two people that know me the most.
Ah.
And the other guest is our first time on the podcast is Jackie, my wife. And so for those of you that know her, know that she is the cornerstone of my life here on earth and how things go. And so she keeps me out of a lot of trouble and has blessed me in many ways. Now, I say all that to start the podcast. We'll see how it goes.
When
the two Daves get ready and get ready to start asking questions, I could be in a lot of trouble. So we'll see. But Jackie, it's good to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. So.
Nice to be here.
Well, one of the topics was what it's like to deal with you, and we put that in quotation marks of what's it like to be an outfitter's spouse.
That whole time setting up while we were setting up, and you guys were going, okay, well, let's start with that. So, Jackie, just start with an outfitter's life. Wait, maybe first of all, tell everybody who you are and where you came from, what you do.
Well, I'm Jackie Hunt. I originally was from Baker, Oregon, before it was Baker City. And then we moved to OMAC, and I graduated at OMAC High, and then married Rusty, and we've raised our family on the farm, and then have quit work for a while to raise the kids, and then have had many jobs over the years, but now I work for Columbia Basin Foundation as the finance director, and so I'm in Ephrata almost every day. That's about it.
Well, very good. Well, yeah, I really, that history lesson the last 40 years was really quick there. So
I know. I'm kind of
a lot of ground was covered.
Minimal words, I guess.
So now we've only, you and I were married back in the early 90s, and so we didn't start Hidden Ranch Outfitters till 2000. So we had a few years, got the kids, and started our life off and our marriage off in the ranch life. So how did it change when we became outfitters?
Well, a lot. How did it change?
Or how did it stay the same? I don't know.
So give us the foundation part.
The life on a fly is kind of the way it works around our place.
Yeah.
What's happening today is kind of how that works with Rusty. It always did, though. It always did, even with the cattle. You know, we worked cattle together, and so it was. It's never been, life with Rusty has never been, this is what we're going to do today, and it's going to go this way, and it's going to go smooth, and at the end of the day, we're going to have, you know, dinner. You know, that's not the way it works. You start the day out going, okay, I'm ready for this. And then, well, okay, I'm ready for that. Well, I'm ready for that. Okay, I don't know that I'm ready. But it's an adventure, as it says on all of our stuff. Mm-hmm. Hidden Ranch Outfitters Adventures is, it's always been an adventure.
It's a way of life for you guys, isn't it?
Hunt Farms or HRO or what it is, it's always been a go, go, go.
Yeah, very, very much so. Now, Jackie has been... she's been the main hospitality for Hidden Ranch Outfitters.
Yeah.
As guys, the hunters would come in. You know, we started off with just the deer hunts. And so, you know, where I do everything on the phone, I do all the scouting, doing that. But Jackie got in on some of that because we would raise the kids. Mm-hmm. We'd throw them in the back seat of the pickup, and then we would go scouting. So there was hours driving around looking at deer as a family. One of the coolest stories ever was there was a buck that I'd been watching, but he lived and he would cross the county road. So sometimes I'd see him on the north side, sometimes I'd see him on the south side. And there was this big kochia patch on the north side of the road. And we came down through there on the county road and I was watching him, and this was, you know, right around the first of September. And he stood up in the kochia patch right next to the fence. Mm. And so I just stopped, and we were like 20 yards from him. And he was just right there laying next to the fence. He was in the shade of that kochia, and he stood up. And so we got the kids over and be quiet and look out the window 20 yards away. And he proceeded to rub all the velvet off of his horns right there in front of my kids Jackie and I, and didn't spook at all, and just rubbed it all off, and they could see the blood, and they could see it, and the kids were just totally fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of our cool family memories that comes. But Jackie was in charge of the hospitality. So where we put the guys up, where they slept, yeah, all the food that we did, Jackie had to put all that together. And over the years, when we first started, we were in a Eric mentioned it. It was the house that Eric lived in when him and Misty first got married. And we fixed it up and put the hunters in there, and it was still very interesting.
We had air mattress beds on. They were on a lift. They were on a frame. A frame. But every time you rolled over, you could hear... Mm-hmm. You know, it was terrible. Now, I thought it was kind of cool at the time, but I didn't sleep on it either. So that wasn't some of our finer days, but it was fun.
Yeah, we started organically, shall we say.
Did. Yeah.
We didn't build the Orvis Lodge to begin with.
No.
Anytime you describe a hotel or a place to stay, it's interesting. That's
how many ghosts does it have?
Yeah, right?
And then I think it was the second or third year that we were only in there 2 years. And yeah, it was the second year on the last hunt. There was a staircase that went up to the bedrooms, and the third step from the bottom broke.
Oh. Mm.
And so for the rest of the next 3 days, nobody could step on the third step because it actually broke and fell in. So you went from two to four.
Okay.
Mm. And you just didn't maneuver through that in the dark. So yeah, the cabins are way better now.
Yes, they are.
So,
yes, they are.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's it like cooking for this crew, because a lot of the times, and I would say especially in the early years, several years there, you were the only woman in camp.
Yeah. You know, cooking, one, I'll have a disclaimer. I'm not a fantastic chef, but
I disagree with that.
My mother taught me to use what you have and be creative. And if you like the taste of it, probably somebody else will too. So that's kind of how I cook. I just cook pretty comfort food, pretty much, and it's just, I'm not real fancy. People seem to like that. People seem to enjoy coming in and having comfort food. But the other thing I've found is that for a long time now, people miss sitting down together and eating.
Yeah.
And that's how I grew up. Rusty grew up that way. Our kids grew up that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you sit down, you hold hands, and you pray over your meal. Mm-hmm. You know, you give thanks. And that's what we do at Hidden Ranch Outfitters. Not always do we hold hands and pray, but we do. We're just pretty homespun. And people the fellas seem to really love that.
Yeah.
And because I think we miss that in our society, mm-hmm. a lot nowadays, is that the kitchen is a resting place. The kitchen table's a resting place for all your stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, get that table cleaned off and sit around it and look people in the eye and talk about mm-hmm. your day, just like you guys just did. And have a relationship. And that's what I love about Hidden Ranch Outfitters, is that yeah. opportunity, and to do that with these fellas is really wonderful.
Well, and you know, Jackie's so kind, and she has that servant's heart. So when the guys get there, especially the guys that have been there before, and mm-hmm. it doesn't take the new ones long, within a day, and they're giving Jackie a hug when they see her at night when she brings the dinner in, so many of them now send her flowers. Aww. Send her boxes of candy, which, you know, I think they're doing it just to show up everybody how bad I am as a husband. I don't do all those things.
Well, you did invite me to the Salt Lake show for Valentine's Day.
I was like,
that's not going to work for me.
See, Dave,
unless you want me to show up with two black eyes, that's probably not a great plan for me. So.
But it works good for you. You know, Jackie's been to the Salt Lake show on Valentine's Day enough times now that no, I'm not going with you to the Salt Lake show. I already know what it's there. I'm not going again.
Our daughter's husband, because we've been with them for Valentine's Day so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And Cameron said, do we spend every Valentine's Day with your folks?
That's funny when the kids point something out, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, seems like it.
But the hunters get, they just enjoy having Jackie around, and it raises that respect. Mm-hmm. I just see it in all the guys, you know, where there may be an off-color joke or whatever out in the skin and shed or whatever, but Jackie comes out to there too. But I just see that respect for those guys have for Jackie, which is so cool.
Yeah, it does change the tone of the camp.
Yes.
In a positive way.
In a positive way.
Yeah, it really does. You know, you would think that it almost would – they would be upset because they came to hunting camp to be men and you know, do the men thing, but they don't. They you know, that's a fallacy. They come for the, and you know, and I really kind of, it kind of set me back a ways. It was about 4 years into it, and it was the we were we were going to transition into two camps. Mm-hmm. It was the last year that we were in the one camp. But it set me back enough to prepare me for the next camp was that the guys aren't here now. The guys that had come the first 3 years all had come. Mm-hmm. They're not here for Rusty to take them hunting anymore. They're coming to sit down at the table and eat Jackie's food. Yeah. And I was like, but it's hunting season, you know, and as the guide and the outfitter, I never would have thought about that. It's good that I grew this organically was because they were here to give Jackie a hug at night and to, you know, eat the food and love the food. And you know, and many of them are very successful. You know, they're paying for a hunt. They're successful. They have that kind of resources to be able to do that. And then they come and then they eat home cooked food. And I'm thinking, well, we're just treating them like home, but they're so busy and so mm-hmm. successful. They eat out all the time. And so they don't want to eat out.
They're not sitting at the table and doing grace. Everybody is going their separate directions, right? So,
yes. Yeah. And so that, it really turned me on to the fact that Hidden Ranch Outfitters is not just you're here to go out and shoot a deer. You're here to sit down at the table, hang out with your buddies, mm-hmm. go out, hunt, see some deer, have some fun with that hunting that you came for. But it's more about the camaraderie. It's more about what we mm-hmm. do. And Jackie came to me. She goes, you know, is it going to be really bad if I just serve tater tot casserole? And I'm just like going, no, I love tater tot casserole. She goes, well, I know you love it, but what about the guys? And I'm going, trust me.
They're
going
to love it.
They're going to love it. So, you know, she's learned how to do all of that and taught me. So when we had the two camps and I was in the other camp, Jackie pretty much had to run this one. And she she made all the guys love Jackie, even though they deal with me on a mm-hmm. on the phone and everything else and at the shows. But it's really Jackie does have that. One of the stories I love to tell, and it's my favorite one. I may have told it on the podcast already. I don't know. But it's one of my favorite ones was we were sitting there having lunch. I think it was lunch, actually. I don't know if it was lunch or no, it was dinner because you were there. And they just found out that one of the buddies that had hunted with them before, but they had left him home this trip. Mm-hmm. His wife caught him cheating. Mm-hmm. And so she had left him. And so they were getting all these texts that, you know, he was upset. His wife had left him and everything else. Well, these guys have said, you know, they started talking about all that. And one of the guys that is really no filter, you know.
Hey, we know a lot of people like that for some reason.
Anyway.
Come to think of it.
he yells into the kitchen from the kitchen table there, or from the table we were sitting at. There's this little doorway or a little entryway, and he yells into the kitchen, and he tells Jackie, you know, and he asks her, he says, so, Jackie, what would you do if you caught Rusty cheating? And the whole table just went extremely quiet. You know, it was really like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing? You know, she's the only woman here. You just put her on the spot. And, you know, Rusty's our host and she's our host. And everybody was just mortified that he would ask this question right out loud in front of everybody. And Jackie comes walking over to the door and everybody's staring at her and she's just calmly, straight face, poker face all the way, not mad, not sad, not happy, just straight face all the way. She just looked at them all and said, I guess you guys will just get to know me as the poor widow Hunt. And she turned around and the table just bust out laughing. And they all looked at me and I went, I just looked right over at her and I said, thanks, Gunner.
Yeah.
Thanks. I said so.
She owns a lot of property, and I think I saw a backhoe.
And she knows the combination to the safe. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that was an eye-opener. So mm-hmm. I won't be cheating on my wife anytime soon. Yeah. So.
Well, that's good to hear.
So, but that's the kind of thing that happens at hunting camp mm-hmm. with, and that's where Jackie kind of fits into it all. And she knows them all as well, and she teases and jokes with them as well. So
yeah,
it's a good experience. It really is, you know.
Well, it ties together with church a little bit. When you show up to your guide, to the outfitter, you show up at church, things get quiet, right? Things calm down. Mm-hmm. You might have went there for one purpose, deer hunt or something, and you're getting a lot more out of it, right? And you'll notice it's a pause because you can't be on your phone or taking a call, right? You're now, for the next 90 minutes or however long church is going to be, or the few days out, they're super similar, at least to me, where the noise of whatever it is, because we get busy, right? And, and you don't even notice the noises going up until usually it's somebody else that points it out, like last night was my example, right? So how much longer is this going to take, right? And it was the shot across the bow, like, yeah, I guess I've been working on this all day. And I had other things I was supposed to do. Yeah. So
yeah, well, that is one of my favorite things of hunting camp or fish camp, wherever you're going, you know, family time, the getting at the end of the day. It's not about killing the animal. It's not about the trophy on the wall. It's about the memory that you're building around that table.
Yeah.
And you're sitting around, at hunting camp, we're telling the same lies we told last year, except the deer is just a little bigger than it was last year. Dead deer grow bigger than live deer. Yeah. And, you know, we're having great food, enjoying the time. And, you know, church needs to be the same time. It's all about the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's all about stopping and getting to know the people around you, you know, getting to be connected to people. And we don't do that in our world. And
it gets kind of glossed over, doesn't it?
It's glossed over. Food is a thing that guys, for some reason, if you give them a coffee cup at church, they will be more secure to talk to
other
people.
They will.
This cup protects me from all the evil that I can get from these guys.
You ever notice in a police drama or whatever, there's always something to drink. Now, they're trying to get your DNA, too. But people will start talking.
But over food, we're social creatures. We become that way. Yeah. It changes the mood for the camp. A guy comes in that has missed a deer, or that we have spent the afternoon searching for a deer that he is sure was a clean kill. Mm-hmm. And it obviously wasn't, he's not using clean the way the rest of us use it. But when we get into the camp and we're sitting around the dinner table, the mood drops. We're good with it. It's not... It's not about failure or success. It's just about people.
Right.
Well, I love that part of it too, where the guys come in, because I don't put myself in the middle of everything. You know, I kind of I stay in the kitchen for the most part. But they come in and they, well, so how was the hunt today? I didn't do so good.
Mm.
And it's, I love that they share it with me, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just want to take you guys back to some of the experiences that you've had hunting elsewhere, you know, not HRO, but elsewhere. And I've heard stories from Rusty about the family that he stayed with, or the cook that he stayed, you know, that has provided meals for him. And it's always a really special story. You know, it's some of the things that they bring to camp is just enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's been my model, to really model off of my mom and dad, my grandparents, that opportunity to take that example forward and share that with people. You know, we had one young man, he was a veteran, and he had been hurt, really hurt, and so he had a lot of metal in his body, and it was cold, and he would get, you know, it would affect him, and he was getting back into the world, you know, of not having to protect people, but just carrying a gun to hunt, you know, just to hunt an animal. And he loved venison. Oh, man, I cooked more venison. Sometimes hunters don't like venison.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
So I'm kind of careful, you know. I do cook a lot of beef, but he loved the venison. So I cooked a lot of venison that week. And he said, I just love this. I need some of your recipes. And I went, I don't necessarily follow recipes, but I had this really great book that a cookbook that Rusty had gotten me that from a great hunter, and he had signed it and everything. He was a great chef, venison chef. And I asked Rusty, I said, could I give that to that young man? And he says, yeah, that'd be okay. So I signed it like I was some big chef. And I,
She was for 4 days.
And I said, okay, now it's your turn. I left it on his pillow in his bedroom. And he came in and he had that book and he stood right by me and he says, this is the kindest thing anybody's ever done.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, man, never underestimate the little tiny things, you know. Mm. That just blessed his heart, and in turn, he blessed my heart. And I said, okay, it's your turn to sign that book now. You go make some good recipes. And, oh, he was so excited to go back to his family and cook Thanksgiving dinner on his new Traeger and use some of those wonderful recipes with the meat that he had gotten. And so, you know, that's my life. That's my life at hunting camp. Yeah. You know.
Well, you come out to the skin shed.
I do. I like to go out to this. I always go out. I always go out and see the guys what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in, you know, how the bullet went in and how the bullet came out.
Oh, my goodness.
All the stories and how big,
you know. Giving lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good time. It's a really good time. Well,
that's where you get the truth of the story. You can see where the bullet went in.
Yeah.
You may have only shot once, but somebody hit this thing 4 times.
Yeah. There's some good stories.
Bounced around a lot.
Yeah, there's a few times where they say, yeah, don't worry about that. That up here, just focus on this one up here.
Well, I think it's neat to tie that around to HRO Adventures and also your Hidden Ranch Outfitters, right? It's an entire, you know, we call it an adventure, but I mean, this is a lifetime. People will come back, right?
Yeah.
As a person who has a high level of concierge training in the business that I do outside mm-hmm. of this stuff, right? There are just naturals, and then we've been taught how it revolves around food as well, right? Mm-hmm. So at my house growing up, we all cook. I cook probably when I'm home most of the time, almost always cook outside. It doesn't matter what the weather's doing. And from a hunter or fisherman, right? I don't know how many people we've had over that didn't know this was elk or didn't know this was turkey or how did you get the, you know, like I smoke salmon. I have a little smokehouse that I made. And people that don't like fish, I can't even get it inside, right? Because they're eating it as it goes by. And they're like, so you just caught this? And then, you know, and it's like, well, it's not that simple, but, you know, whether you tie it to biblical stuff with the Last Supper or whatever, the way food and that communion word mm-hmm. can bring people around, and you don't see it anywhere other than church or hunting camp at this point, right? It's kind of gone. There's some gathering at Starbucks to meet up with a friend and have coffee, right? But that's super, super short-lived. And it's just, you know, people might be looking at the website and the adventures for hunting or fishing, but there's so much more. And you guys as a team complement each other, right, with what you bring to it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's a team effort. And at the end of the day, with the adventures, you guys care how somebody leaves, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a kind of a money-making venture, but they need to leave in a way where they can't wait to schedule it again, right?
Right.
And things like that. So pretty neat what you guys have built.
It is. It is. And it's I just feel that the successful outfitters out there have that team approach that Jackie sees them from a different viewpoint than I see them from out in the field mm-hmm. and in the truck. And so the two of us sharing that together and then putting the whole thing together helps us service them better.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that the hunt, the entire experience is all good.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jackie, you know, it's like we tell everybody, you know, you bring your pack, you bring your hunting license and tags, and you bring your gun and your you know, whatever accessories you need. But we take care of everything else. And, you know, so Jackie will find out right away if there's food allergies, mm-hmm. you know, we can't have peanut butter, we can't have whatever. We had that one young man from Louisiana. What was it that he couldn't have? I can't remember, but it was. Mm-hmm. And then we had a contractor from the other side of the mountains that came over and hunted for several years with us, and he was extreme diabetic, mm-hmm. and he didn't tell us. And so the first night, you know, we did the scouting. We came in, we had the meal, and it was late, and he was tired from you know, he's a contractor. He works 24/7 mm-hmm. in his head, and so. He had worked all the way over there and then finally put his phone down when he got here and went hunting. We scouted and we were going to hunt the next day. And Jackie served him, was it apple pie? Mm-hmm. I think it was apple pie. And he goes to bed. Well, the next morning, the other guy comes over for breakfast and he goes, I don't think Warren's going to make it today. I don't think he's going to be able to hunt. I said, "Oh, what was he? Is he sick? What's going on?" He goes, "No, I knew he shouldn't have had that apple pie last night, but he never gets to have apple pie, and then it smelled so good, and so then he was just going to have a bite. Well, then he ate the whole thing, and so I was worried about him all night. Well, this morning he woke up and he can't put his boots on. His legs and his feet are so swollen, he can't get his boots on, and he's over there and he's grumbling and he's all upset because he can't get his boots on, so he can't go hunting." And I says, "Well, what are we doing about his blood sugar?" And he goes, "Well, we're here to hunt." And it's kind of like, "Well, yeah, I know.
You can feel the love." Yeah.
If he dies, we split his equipment.
So we, you know, I got him out with another guide, and I went over and sat down with Warren for a little bit. And by that time, he had figured out how to get his boots on. He couldn't tie them or anything, but he got his boots on. And I said, "Well, Warren," I said, "why don't we just go sit in the truck? Let's just go look around." Yeah. And we got him out and we got his blood sugar back in track. And, you know, the next night, and I'm texting Jackie saying, "No more pies." No more. Yeah, Warren's diabetic. And so, you know, Jackie takes care of all of those mm-hmm. things, you know, all those food allergies.
No matter how much he asked, I didn't give him pie that night.
Yeah.
And up his insulin is what he needs.
You know, and another story that come to my mind is she was talking about Matt, the wounded veteran that we took deer hunting. That was all set up through the Mule Deer Foundation, you know, and through Grateful Nation. And there was the collaboration between the two, and I was a MDF outfitter. And so we set it all up, and we put it all together. Well, on the TV show, if you watch it, they have a little bit of the hunt, but then they also have the vet's story of how he was wounded and what he's went through in his recovery, okay? Wow. And so they do a lot of interviews on the lawn and out by the barn and sitting there doing a lot of tape. Talking about his story as a veteran. And that's it. Well, if you watch our episode, we have his birthday happened while he was in camp. Well, of course, these are the kind of things we don't know going into camp. Mm-hmm. But we found out that it was his birthday. And so the guide that was guiding them, when he heard it was the birthday, he's hunted, you know, he's my, mm-hmm. one of my guys, works for us, knows Jackie and I really, really well, one of my best friends. He texts Jackie and says, "Hey, it's Matt's birthday today." Mm-hmm. So Jackie, you know, just, we're doing our own thing. The film crew does their thing.
Yeah.
And we work together, of course, but you don't ever think about the food or the cook or any of the hospitality because mm-hmm. It's not part of his vet story, and it's not part of the hunt. So it's, well, Jackie makes him a birthday cake. Well, that's in the episode.
Oh, okay.
Was wow. the night that Jackie brings him in and hands him a birthday cake.
We sang not very well.
Yeah, we did sing. That shouldn't have made the TV show.
That shouldn't have made it.
But it did. So, yeah, but we gave it to him. And in just the overwhelming of...
Oh, man.
You know, it hit him, and it was just kind of like, well, that's why it went into the TV mm-hmm. show, was yeah. that's what it's all about. And so So I thought it was very unique after watching Grateful Nation and seeing all the episodes they do and everything else. That's very unique to ours, you know, and...
And you would have done it whether there was cameras or not. It would have made any difference. That's just how you guys operate.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. The bad thing about the veteran deal was I had always watched. They always had an interview with the outfitter, mm-hmm. and then they had an, you know, and then of course the guide was telling the story all the way, and then they've got the veteran. Okay. So that's how we set it up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I wasn't in the episode. I mean, I make a few of the cameo appearances, you know, at the birthday party, singing birthday, and you know, and you see me in a maybe a. I'm not even sure you see me anytime else. Maybe it might be the only part. But I did an interview, but it just didn't make the cut, right? Jackie gets 30 seconds in the TV show. I don't even make it as the outfitter. She makes it as the outfitter, you know. The guys just think that the guides just tease me to be on the hilt because, you know, here I was, the outfitter, set the whole thing up, and I didn't even make the episode. So, but, you know, that's
a good leader.
That it, well, I actually agree. I think that's the cool part was I have a good team. Yeah. I have a really good guide. I got a good wife and a good cook that mm-hmm. takes care of them.
Outfitting is a team sport.
It is. It's an absolute team mm-hmm. sport. And that's the only reason we've been doing it for 25 years.
Just like church.
Just like church.
You realize a lot of these successful things are a team sport, right? You just can't do it all.
So. Yeah.
One of our dear guides came in. He's just been with us a long time. And he came in one day and he said, "You need to talk to Rusty. He's not very happy." And I said, "Oh, okay." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Why do I need to talk to him?" "Well, you're going to be the only one that can calm me down." Well, something had happened. And so anyway, he came in. He was pretty miffed about something. And so but I just thought that was the coolest thing is that we all work together mm-hmm. and we're really a family, mm-hmm. you know, it's really a family and the hunters become mm-hmm. family.
Yeah.
They're, absolutely. They're not just, you know, that you actually start feeling bad about business because it, you become family. Mm-hmm. We really care about every single fellow that comes across or a woman that comes into camp. And it's, I love that part of it.
Yeah. It is pretty cool.
It shows.
It is pretty cool.
The Snoqualmie Inn by Hotel America is the perfect location to stay at when visiting the Snoqualmie Valley. With 99 guest rooms, the inn can accommodate travel, sports teams, and seminars in addition to valley visitors. Enjoy the breakfast buffet, fitness center, and indoor pool before starting your activities. Coaches and parents alike will enjoy the spacious meeting rooms and lounging areas with food and coffee retailers, all within steps of the front door. Use promo code SNOWPOD for 12% off. Teams contact Lori Hay for reservations and discounts. Make the Snoqualmie Inn part of your stay. And don't forget to use the promo code SNOWPOD. That's SNOPOD in all caps.
And we're back with the HRO Adventures podcast.
Well, Jackie, it's been great having you here. It's
been wonderful. Thanks for coming.
I'm breathing a little easier. I guess I'll give you one more shot to take some. But one of the things, you know, we've had fun just talking about, you know, raising the kids and different things. What goes on for you to get ready for hunting camp and what goes on after hunting camp? What's kind of the work part of the outfitter business that you haven't shared with any of us? I talk about me going and, you know, doing all the scouting and all of that kind of deal and setting camp up, but what goes into you setting up camp and getting things ready?
Well, we getting the cabins ready and all that just takes, you know, takes a little time, but not too much. The big thing is just to go. We don't live anywhere near a store. I mean, our little store down mm-hmm. in Cooley City is not quite capable of handling what I need to do for hunting camp. And so I usually go to Wenatchee and stock up and get ready. The guys can go through an incredible amount of water. And so, you know, just trying to think about, okay, what in the say 2 weeks of modern firearm, there is no in between. Mm-hmm. There's no, I'm working full time. I work full time. And so there's no taking days off so much. So I get ready. I do the meal at night. And with that meal, when I bring that meal, I have breakfast and lunch ready for the next day. Hmm. Or if I don't have time to do that, then I get up mm-hmm. really early and do mm-hmm. breakfast and lunch and leave it for them. And then head to work and then come back and time to have dinner. And so I go down to Wenatchee and I get up most of the supplies and get prepared the drinks and stuff that it's just usually warm. You know, they mm-hmm. get out there and they get warm and they need plenty of hydration and stuff. So anyway, I try to just manage time, mm-hmm. you know, manage.
It's a significant time. Logistical issue, right? And it's always time crunch.
Yeah. Yep, it is. Mm-hmm. And so making sure we have plenty of propane for the barbecue mm-hmm. and that, you know, that everything can work. It's mm-hmm. we don't have air conditioning in the homes, and so we don't want to cook in the home because it was hot mm-hmm. that day. And so then I have to cook at home. This last year, my oven went out.
Oh, it did.
And I had to cook at my mother-in-law's, which she really loved it because I'd go put something in and then we would visit for a while mm-hmm. and stuff. But that was not grand.
Yeah, losing your oven the day.
Oh, and it knows, but, right? It knows. Like
3 days before the coming season.
Yeah.
It was not ideal.
Yeah. If you sit there staring at it, it'll work. But the moment you get 17 miles away.
It would go on. It would like get stuck on
broil.
Goodness.
I'm going to burn my house down and I need to go get dinner.
I mean, it would go so hot it would blow the breaker.
Yeah.
Wow. It wouldn't turn on. It would just only go. It wouldn't turn off. Exactly. It would just go to all the way out.
That was during archery. And so in between archery and modern firearm, Rusty went and got me a
run to Home Depot.
Yes, we did. Spokane and got me a beautiful oven, and I just loved it. But so I was ready for modern firearm, which was great. But that was kind of
The way these seasons are built, and then the way clients will travel, there is no real gap for like putting the roof on, or you got to figure out this maintenance, and your window is probably in the worst possible weather as well. So it's this logistical nightmare you can't get in front of. You constantly have to react. So it's a unique issue. That's what I'm used to is I can't control any of these variables and I just have to react. So you know, the redundancy, one is none and two is one, having extra propane when people are coming, mm-hmm. those are all things that come from my day job, right? Mm-hmm. That I've had that propane go out, and we are not anywhere near another propane place, and they are closed because it's a holiday or whatever, right? So you burn yourself once, now, you know, why do you have four tanks? Well, it's made me this way. I didn't start like this.
But, well, and you know, my life, because of the cows and different things, was Jackie said it right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I have a plan at the beginning of the day. It just never happens during the day.
Yeah. wasn't it Mike Tyson, or I think it was Sun Tzu with the Art of War, but I think Mike Tyson translated it to, you have a plan, you've been practicing, the first time you get hit in the face, plan goes out the window.
Yeah, that's the end of that plan.
And let's see, I'm trying to think. Yesterday, what day is it? I guess Monday was garbage day. Had my cup of coffee, saw the garbage truck come up as he dumped and emptied, and my can went in, and then they drove away, right? So, you know, it happens. Call the number. Yeah, you know, we can get you a can in 2 weeks. It's like, what do you mean 2 weeks? So now, you know, part of my day now is managing trash that's piling up because we got a busy house. My son's home from college, so it's four of us, and you guys are just down the road. Like, I could literally just take my trash down to your doorstep. And I thought about it. But it's like, well, this was not in the plan this week.
This was not in the plan.
And
yeah.
this morning on the way out the door, my wife was, so can one is full. You go get the spare lawn maintenance can that I, you know. So, yeah, it was quick on your feet. So, yeah, logistics are
so Jackie's
very
had to
interesting because
yeah.
I know how that goes. And it's
and then, you know, we had two small children. And so when we started the outfitter business, chaos was already in Jackie's mm-hmm. life. She had been married to me long enough that she realized that chaos was just normal.
Yeah.
And so
not really chaos if it is normal.
So, yeah. so you know, when things would start, you know, going this sideways or things would be changing, Jackie just goes with the flow. And she can usually turn it on pretty quickly and recover way better than me.
That's amazing.
Because I people will know that I'm frustrated or will know that I'm upset. With Jackie, it's just kind of like, just breathe. It'll mm-hmm. be fine.
Well, even her telling a story about being without the oven, there's no frustration.
No.
It's like, well, this is what I had to deal with.
And,
you know, I remember episodes of that. Yes, friends, I've heard stories of all the
usually
things
Usually it's
that
Thanksgiving when the turkey's in. Yeah. Yeah. That's usually the story, right?
It happens. We go on with it. And I think you guys complement each other so well.
Yeah,
that you're
sure.
You're not both up in the air at the same time.
Yeah.
Both going
I write the nasty emails. My wife has to proofread them.
That's right.
I'm not allowed to send anything without my sensor taking a peek because I have hurt myself in the past by launching an angry email. So,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a great compliment. It's a great teamwork that you've got on the same page. It's not your business. It's not her business. It is really – you know, the two of you working together, using your gifts really well, and keeping
that's a good way to put it. You know?
Keeping things going well, I love it.
Yeah, there's been quite a learning curve, but we seem to have figured it out. But so
you probably screamed and hollered a few times, but.
Yeah, shooting the deer was the easy part of the
That's
equation,
true.
Right?
That's true. You know, it's a good thing we don't have any microphones or cameras in the pickup or in the car. You know, but you know, families need that time too. You know, so that you can, what the other person's
thinking.
If the
thinking. Truck Absolutely. Seats could talk, huh?
Right.
That sounds like a country song or something.
That'd be good.
So anyway, well, Jackie, you need to get to work.
I need to get back to work.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Speaking of that full-time job.
Guys, she needs to go back to work.
Yeah,
I'm just
time.
Saying. So.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
It was really fun. Thank you. I appreciate what you're doing with the podcast. I enjoy listening to them. And so thanks for doing what you do. And I appreciate this guy, too. I really do. So thank you. And we'll see you later.
All right. Take care, Jackie.
We'll let you go there. Get that. There you go.
Perfect.
Well, yeah. So, Hidden Ranch Outfitters doesn't go without Jackie. That's for sure. We know how that works and everything else. And so I'm glad that we were able to, you know, be here at the church again in Ephrata so that she could come up and do work. That was kind of the method behind the madness of today's podcast was to get close so we could get her on the podcast. We had talked about several ways to do it.
Thanks for opening up and hosting us.
Hey,
that's great.
We're glad you're back.
Thanks for joining us on the HRO Adventures podcast with Rusty and Dave and the other Dave as well.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.